If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Well, it's the 2 o'clock hour, and I am still standing with laryngitis, making it through. Ryan, you said this before, but my voice sounds better now, maybe, than it did at the start.
Yeah, by 3 o'clock, you're going to sound perfect. Well, you're going to sound like James Earl Jones.
Super helpful, or Clarence Thomas, if I'm lucky. We're excited to have Point Pest Control in studio with us, not because we have pests in the studio, even though we do have one. It's a different kind of a pest. Ryan, I'm talking about you.
You know what? I really want to acknowledge before we begin here that when we said, what will you sound like by 3 o'clock, John said Gilbert Godfrey, but his mic wasn't on yet,
no.
And he deserves a lot of
That's
credit
right.
for that.
Do I sound less like Gilbert Godfrey right now?
Probably.
No, it's more in my normal voice. When I get real ragey on the air, someone, was that you that said that originally?
That was Kenton. He'd Kenton. Be glad to hear his
yes.
name.
Yes, that's right, Kenton. He wasn't wrong, man. That was the worst part of it.
That's an interesting act you have there. What do you call yourself? And they say, the aristocrats.
Man, when you apply yourself, Ryan Wiggins, you can do great things. You're so selective in it. Point Pest Control, one of my favorite partners that we have here, sponsors of this show. I'm a client of Point Pest Control as well, and I am so grateful to be able to have them come to my home and basically at the foundation level keep us spider-free. That's at the heart of the matter, but we are bug-free in the Fry home because of Point Pest Control. I've been a quarterly service subscriber for like 2 years now, maybe, you think, John?
I would say so.
Yeah, John was the one who actually came and treated our house. We found a couple, what were they called? What kind of spiders were they?
You had multiple types of spiders.
I don't want to know that.
We'll say it a friendly type.
Yeah.
You call them breeds?
Shut up. The ones with muscles.
Species.
Species.
Anyway, we don't have them anymore. And I saw one spider in the house a couple months ago, and they came right back out and treated the house. Haven't seen them since. So I really stand by Point Pest Control. I had a comment on here from WTS Tim, who said that Point Pest Control was out to their house this last week and that they did a great service. So I stand by them. I know, Ryan, you've had them out to your house as well. You do great work. You've gone to expand your commercial providing, correct, with Point Pest Control. Can you talk to me a little bit about the commercial division now?
Yeah. We have a pretty good reputation in restaurants and other businesses, factories, warehouses. Very proud of the work we do with solving German roach issues and fruit fly issues that, you know, seem to trouble a lot of restaurants this time of year, especially the fruit flies.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel we're as good as anybody at getting rid of your fruit flies.
Yeah, I think that those types of things, those are the types of things that you think, I would think, like in my home, if you have a fly situation or even ants or something like that, it should be simple to get rid of. You can go to the store, you can pick up something, you take care of it, and you're like, 48 hours go by, and you're like, gosh, we got it, we did it. But then, like, another day goes by, and there's a freaking ant or a fly, and you're like, oh, it's so frustrating. You need to have the professionals come out, and certainly for my house. And I know that in our conversations together, John, that you would talk about all of the different places, all these restaurants, these different businesses that you guys have been working with for a really long time. Now you've expanded that commercial division as well. So if you are a business right now and you need reliable pest services, Point Pest Control is there and we'll be happy to take your services. Point with an E, pointpestcontrol.com. You guys are going to play X's and O's today. Did we say John was going first? Is that what you said,
yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
John's going
sure.
first. Okay, Kathy, you want to be X's or O's? You get to pick.
I'll be O's.
O's? Okay. All right. Well, Ryan, you want to take over from here? This is your rodeo.
All right. Here we go. X's and O's. This is a game we play based on the news of the week. We have a tic-tac-toe board up in the studio. We have a drummer who comes in just for this segment, which is really cool. Thank you.
He has laryngitis, too, so he's not going to talk today.
So he's hitting the drum a little bit lighter.
I don't...
There are 9 questions. There are 9 squares. You just try to get tic-tac-toes, but the way that you do it, John and Kathy, is you pick a square, and then you hear the question, or we actually pick an expert first, Annie or Brad, hear the question, they answer, you simply agree or disagree for the square. We keep playing even if you get a tic-tac-toe, so we fill out the whole board so that there's no ties. John, you are going first. Which square are you picking?
I'll pick 5.
All right, number 5.
Center square.
And which expert will be yours?
I'll take Brad.
All right.
Brad, Ghislaine Maxwell testified to the DOJ for 9 hours over 2 days, and people are wondering if a clemency deal might be in the discussion for information leading to the arrest of Epstein Island clients. Who, as the prosecutor of her case, failed to question her about the broader client list and was recently fired by Attorney General Pam Bondi.
Oh, man. Well, her last name is Comey.
Okay.
She's Jim Comey's daughter, James Comey's daughter. I think it's Maureen Comey.
Is it Maureen Comey? Agree or disagree?
I'll agree.
That is correct. Nice job. Nice job pulling that from the deep files there of memory. For Brad.
The deep files of memory from Brad, which is a segment that we are going to put on deck if I don't have a voice in the rest of the two.
It's actually Brad's memoir.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Kathy?
Would you have accepted Maureen Comey if it was like Melissa Comey?
No.
I would have told you should have. That was pretty good.
That was good. Mm-hmm. Kathy, where do you want to go on the board here?
I think I'll take number 3.
Number 3, and who's answering, Annie or Brad?
I think Annie.
All right.
Annie. Annie's missed a couple days this week with laryngitis. So there are questions that are perfect for her, like this one.
Oh, great.
Ethan's segment.
What?
Is always called something different.
Burgle nuts.
Which of these was not the name of an Ethan segment this week? A, Murfin's Burgle Nuts. B, Ethan and the Giant Peach. C, Blorfin's Massive Bloviations.
I have no idea what Wednesday's was. was not?
Which of these was not?
I'm going to go the Giant Peach.
Ethan,
that's a guess.
And the Giant Peach. Agree or disagree, Kathy?
I disagree.
I have no idea.
She's correct.
Yay, Kathy!
She's correct.
Hi, girl.
Yeah, Blorfin's Massive Bloviations was not one from this week.
But is it going to be Monday?
Maybe. I think so. Ethan and the Giant Peach was Monday.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't there that
week. And that was a listener suggestion. So, nice work. All right. John, back to you.
I'll go with Annie.
Okay. All right. Which square?
I'll go with 6.
Pretty wide open. Center right.
Number
Love center
6.
Right.
All right, and this is Annie's. Annie, you have stumbled into AI.
AI.
Okay, this is a real clip from the week run through AI, so it's a real person, but it won't sound like that person.
Okay.
This is about the U.S. Census.
You have to do it every 10 years. It doesn't mean you can't do it more than every 10 years under the Constitution. They should do it and count people who are legally allowed to be here.
Is it somebody we had on the show?
It is a clip we played on the show, so
clip?
This wasn't a guest. Yeah, it was a clip.
Play it again. Oh, no, I'm just going to go Ron DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis. Agree or disagree, John?
I'll agree.
Here's the answer.
You have to do it once every 10 years.
Yay.
It doesn't mean you can't do it more than every 10 years.
I was going to say Steve Cortez, because I know you guys talked with him yesterday.
They should do it and count people that are legally allowed
Thank
to
you.
Be here.
There you go.
You get it. John.
Nice. Good job.
All right. We've got a threatening situation here. One square open. And I think we're going to take a break. And we're going to finish this game on the other side of this. And I'm going to tell you how you can save using Point Pass Control. If you, like me, are a customer already, I've got something for you. We're going to tell you about that when we return. A reminder, pointpestcontrol.com if you want to learn more about their pest services for you for your residential needs, like I use them, or commercial needs, like so many of the places that you're visiting right now around the St. Louis and Metro East area. They are using Point Pest Control to make sure that their services can be provided to you pest-free. Go to Point with an E, pointpestcontrol.com. To learn more, and I'm going to tell you how to save, and we'll wrap up X's and O's next. Don't go away.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're playing X's and O's with Point Pest Control, my friends, sponsors of the show, and I am a client of theirs as well. I'm happy to pay that quarterly fee because I do not have bugs in my home, and that takes a lot of worry off of my shoulders. We've got John and Kathy in here. John, you are the commercial service manager, and I want to give you the opportunity to talk about this month's, it's August, that's crazy. Hello, August. You've got a referral special going right now for people, especially those who have been listening to the show, who have become Point Pest Control clients like myself. You've got a referral plan for them. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, through the month of August, current customers like yourself, if you refer us to somebody and they call, they'll get 50% off their first visit.
That's great.
And you'll get your next visit for free.
Perfect. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. If you've been, I saw several comments of people here in the chat saying that they have used Point Pest Control services. Just keep in mind, if you hear somebody who's having an issue. Now, when we talk about pests, John, it's, of course, people are thinking flies and ants and fruit flies like you were talking about. I always talk about spiders, but you guys will also deal with bigger pests if they are found in an attic or home. Is that correct?
Not in Illinois. In Missouri, yes. We do trap for wildlife in Missouri.
Okay.
We do mole treatments or trapping in both Illinois and Missouri.
Okay.
But yeah, no wildlife in Illinois.
So consider your circumstances. Reach out to Point Pest Control. It's Point with an E, pointpestcontrol.com. And remember that referral offer right now, 50% off for the person you're referring for their first service, and you get your next free. That's pretty fantastic opportunity. Pointpestcontrol.com. X's and O's right now. It's Kathy's turn, correct?
It is Kathy's turn. And John is threatening across the middle of the board. Kathy's got the top right. So, where are you going to go here, Kathy?
I believe I'll go with four for the block.
For the block. And who is answering for you?
Brad.
All right, Brad, this is a guest quote.
This is a guest quote.
On the show this week, this is from somebody who was a guest. Quote, they might as well say we believe in Santa Claus. This quote was regarding people's wishes on how to create peace. Tell me who said that in regards to which world conflict.
So,
is that two questions?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, boy. They might as well believe in Santa Claus.
The real question here is which world conflict were they talking
the
about?
The conflict.
Because I can tell you, I debated on whether or not to ask you who was it.
So I think I know who it was. But I also think I know the conflict now that I've had some time to think about it.
Okay.
So the conflict that we need to talk about is Israel and Gaza. And then I think the guest then would have been Jim Carafano.
Okay. Agree or disagree?
I agree.
Yeah, that's correct. That is
great
exactly
job, Kathy.
Right. That was...
Kathy might know the show better than I do this week.
I know.
well done.
Worked through.
And I will say what I said in that interview, which is I, too, believe in Santa Claus. Next
yes.
question.
John, where would you like to go? Because you just got blocked.
I know. I'll go with eight.
Eight. And who's answering?
I'll go with Brad.
Okay.
Brad, CBS Sports gave the Cardinals a B grade on their moves before the trade deadline, and Ethan reported on the moves yesterday. Name two of the three players the Cardinals traded.
Oh, that were traded?
Yes.
Oh, good, because I don't remember the names of the people they got
Blaze.
Back. That was Blaze. One of the guys they got back.
Dumb.
So they traded Ryan Helsley and Steven Matz.
And Matson.
And Matt Matton? But I'm going with... I'm going with Helsley and Matz.
I'll agree.
That is correct. And Phil Maton?
Yeah.
I don't know. That is Maton? The other guy. Maton?
I don't know. Ethan will come in here and correct us at some point.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah. Clarence Thomas's voice isn't that great, you guys.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. That man has a great
voice.
We're
not arguing about that right now. Let's get to the next.
It's a national treasure.
Looks like you got your work cut out here, Kathy. Where are you going to go?
Playing a lot of defense.
I think I'll go with number one.
Number one.
Okay.
Playing
like that
some offense.
I like the offensive play.
Okay,
like
here we go. Here. And who's answering this question?
I think Annie.
Okay.
Annie.
I'm sorry already.
This is an audio whoopee. The poll question yesterday was about redistricting, and we had Steve Cortez on to talk about it. Here's Pritzker, governor of Illinois, on the topic.
We're all going to have to band together to try to address that, at least to try to stop them by letting them know that if we were doing what they were doing, that, in fact, we would counterbalance, indeed take control.
Blech. Texas.
Who is the they, them he's talking about in this clip?
Texas.
You care to take a minute to think
Texas
about it?
Texas! I'm doing my Clarence Thomas impression. Yeah.
Very good.
Law and Order.
You're really good at impressions today.
Thank you. I would like to do an Annie Fry impression, but I'm failing. Texas.
Kathy?
I agree.
That is correct. All right. Now we got a real game going.
Here we go.
It's super annoying when I know the answer to the question, and then you get to the question, and it's not the one you're asking.
Uh-huh. Well, that one was.
I had Texas in my pocket the whole time.
And you were right. John... What are we going to do here?
Yeah, I like this.
What are we going to do? Because you can go for the
tic-tac-toe. No defense for me.
You can go for the block.
I'm going offense.
You're going
number two.
All right. Number two.
With Annie.
Okay.
With Annie. All right. You have stumbled into it again.
I usually feel pretty good about this segment.
Hi.
Here we go. Annie, tell me who said this.
Today, the Federal Open Market Committee decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged. We believe that the current stance of monetary policy leaves us well-positioned to respond in a timely way to potential economic developments.
Is that AI? That's not the real voice.
It sounds like AI, doesn't it?
I don't know.
That is actually the real voice. I was going to run it through AI, and I was like, it just sounds like AI already. I don't even need to do anything.
Do it again.
Today, the Federal Open Market Committee decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged. We believe that the current stance of monetary policy leaves us well-positioned to respond in a timely way to potential economic developments.
Do I know this person's name?
Yes.
Because it's not Jerome Powell. Eh? He's an old dude. That doesn't sound like an old dude. Don't look at Brad like that. You keep your eyes over here. Who's... This is your question?
Yes.
Oh, man. Donald Trump. I love Point Pest Control. I'm proud to be partnered with him.
John, was that Donald Trump?
You better say.
Well, if that was really AI, I might think of it. I might consider saying yes, but no. That was not Donald Trump.
That was not AI. Here's the answer.
Today, the Federal Open Market Committee decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged. We believe that the current stance of monetary policy leaves us well-positioned to respond in a timely way to potential economic developments.
Now you can hear the answer and you know who it is, right?
Yeah.
It is Jerome Powell.
Jerome Powell.
Yeah, it's Jerome Powell.
He sounds younger than
he does.
He
sound
looks
really nice there. I would have chosen him for my voice that I'd like to have.
If that would have been Snoop's voice, I would have 100% said Jerome Powell.
That's why I left it. Because I'm like, really? It just sounds like just the most bland voice. All right, John, you
sound
got it.
Bland. He sounds like he's 45.
Yeah.
There's the first tic-tac-toe.
He also sounds exactly like the bland 45-year-old AI voice that I have, though.
Yeah.
So I could have done that.
All right, Kathy, which one?
I'll Choose seven.
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 Seven. This is so John's got the tic-tac-toe. This is for Kathy's tic-tac-toe. And who's answering?
Brad.
Okay.
Brad, you got the other audio whoopee.
Whoopee.
This is Theo Vaughn talking about how stinking hot it is.
There's heat everywhere. People are dying. They're dying. Name 40 people right now. I bet you can't.
Did you play this on the air?
And that's the S-U-N, baby. And I don't know how to stop it. You know, you can do prayer. You can do umbrellas.
I sent this. I sent this to you. I didn't. It was not for air.
Oh yeah, we played.
It was just to make fun of Ethan.
Oh no.
It was to privately make fun of Ethan.
That's great. I said, Brad, we got to pull that. What is the beeps? What is he saying in the beeps?
The Irish.
The creeps or the sweeps.
The Irish. He sounds like Slinky Dog. But yeah, he's talking about the
Jim
Irish.
Jim Varney. Right?
Yeah.
Agree or disagree?
I'll agree.
Here's the answer.
There's heat everywhere. Irish people are dying. They're dying. Name 40 Irish people right now.
Oh, that's so funny.
That was a good clip.
It was.
And now we got a tie.
All right.
Both of you went on the offense. I love it. And you got it. So you have each a tic-tac-toe, which means we're down to the tiebreaker of the last
Another
square.
Good game.
Another good game.
John?
John's going to all come down to you.
We're are both we on, both available?
Both
well,
on
I guess
the
I'll have to take nine.
Yeah, you're going to take nine.
You want Brad or you want me?
I forgot. I'll go with Brad this
That's
time.
That's a smart call.
Brad.
If you'd have picked me, I'd have been like, I can't help you twice in a row. Yeah,
well, you made it pretty easy for me.
Yeah, I tried, yeah.
Guys, I love it because this is probably the hardest question of the week. So it's not a guarantee that anybody's going to know this. On Monday, we talked about Happy Gilmore, which has now been streamed almost 50 million times.
I watched it last night.
Because of this show?
What'd you think? Yeah, because we promoted it.
We'll talk about it later.
It is a bona fide phenomenon for Netflix. Current golfers Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy, and Scottie Scheffler all appear in the film, along with many golf legends. Of those three, which is not in the PGA? One of them is in the, excuse me, LIV.
LIV. Oh, man. Oh, man, this is tough.
It is
a 50-50 shot. I've got...
No, we got one of three.
Yeah, but I got...
You know one of them.
I know one of them is, definitely.
Okay.
So, I think...
Which one is definite?
So, the three, Scottie Scheffler.
Okay.
So, man, I think it's Koepka.
I agree.
You let me know when you're going to lock that in.
He agreed. I'm locking it in. I'm not going to guess the other one. I'm not going to go.
You're going to agree. How sure are you, John?
Well, I do FanDuel, and I'm pretty sure I've seen McIlroy and Scheffler in my options to pick. So.
That's okay. An educated guess.
Okay. For the game, John, you are correct.
Hey, John.
Good job. It is Brooks Koepka. He is not in the PGA. Nice job. Nice job.
Awesome game, guys.
Yeah. That was a real good game.
Well, you come back again, face off once again. We'd love to have you.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Awesome.
Match.
Point Pest Control, Point with an E. I stand by my endorsement partnership with them 100% as a customer of theirs. You can't get better people and better service when it comes to getting your pest control taken care of. So please consider Point Pest Control. And John, like you said, if they are current customers, one more time with that referral offer for August that people can partake in.
Yeah, if you're a current customer and you refer somebody to Point Pest Control, you'll get 50% or they'll get 50% off their first treatment, and you'll get your next treatment for no charge.
That's fantastic. Reach out to Point Pest Control. You can contact them on their website, of course, or you can call them directly at 636-798-0023, 636-798-0023. And remember, they have a commercial division now. You can reach out to John Hoglin, who is the commercial service manager, and Kathy Caldwell, thanks for being here, the office manager for Point Pest Control as well. You guys are great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can take our pest out the door with you on your way out. Point with an E, pointpestcontrol.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
It seems like our X's and O's games are getting much more offensive
and I wouldn't have put it that way, but yeah, I know. People are taking chances. And in that case, it actually makes the game a lot more fun.
Happy Gilmore 2?
I've still only watched half of it. We haven't come back to the rest of it.
How do you only watch half of it?
We fell asleep and haven't.
That bored?
It was just late. But I liked it so far, though.
Where do you rank Happy Gilmore 1?
Among all comedy movies or in general?
Why don't you set your terms?
I would say among movies from Adam Sandler, it would be number 2.
Behind Billy your Madison. Life-changing...
Billy Madison.
Holy grail.
Yes.
Of Billy Madison.
It's one of the best.
Happy Gilmore is so funny. And watching it, my kids have, especially my son, within the last year, is like, can I watch Happy Gilmore? And I'm like, gosh, I don't know. And then I think it was over Christmas break. I was like, yeah, you can watch it. I'll just watch it with you. It's still so funny. And he thought it was so funny. So he went to a buddy's house for a birthday Tuesday night, and they watched Happy Gilmore too. And he said it was really funny. So I had spent the entire day yesterday, literally the whole day, up in my bedroom. The only place I would go was into the bathroom and just kept away from people so I wasn't talking. Because if you're around the kids, they're all home from school, of course. They, you know, obviously always talking and wanting to talk to me. That's fine. So I stayed upstairs to try to keep myself from having the opportunity to be talked to. And it was about 9:30 or so. Everybody was washed up and kind of getting ready to go to bed, and I had told one of the kids, like, why don't you come up and hang out with me for a little bit? Maybe we could watch a movie. Well, that turned into everybody who was still awake up in our bedroom, and we watched Happy Gilmore 2, and it was so good.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was so good. There was no part, I mean, it was nostalgic. It didn't try to do anything that it wasn't, it didn't try to do too much. There was still a thread to the story, like a good storyline, like something that made you want to see the thing through. It wasn't what I think a lot of these sequels end up being, which is a cheap money grab. It's like people want more of Happy Gilmore because the original movie was so good that you want to go revisit that. And I think that when they do sequels in the vein of there's a story, there are characters that people really love and people feel familiar with them, they feel like they want to revisit with them. If you can do that story in a way that respects that, but doesn't try to like overly expand on it, like when you try to do too much, or if you don't even try to do anything, you're like, people pay to see this. There's got to be a sweet spot in the middle. There has to be a good story, and everybody has to kind of not take it too seriously.
Yep.
And they A+ on the sequel.
Again, without having finished it, what I've seen so far, I completely agree. And that's really what everybody's saying. That thing is beloved. I mean, mm-hmm. Everybody loves this movie. You know, one of the sequels that I watched that was exactly what you were saying, don't do this. It was still funny, but there was zero story, was Anchorman 2.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
They came back and they're like, well, Anchorman 1 was really funny and fun. Let's make a second one with zero plot. And it was still funny, but there's just like no reason to watch it.
What do you think about the idea to release it on Netflix instead of in the theaters?
Netflix is really smart for doing it.
Well, I know that, but what about Adam Sandler? I mean, Adam Sandler has a pretty sweet deal with Netflix right now. If you look at the Netflix, like top 10 movies being watched on Netflix, Adam Sandler is doing okay.
Yeah.
And so are all of his buddies who he puts in his movies, and they all get a cut from that.
I mean, Adam Sandler, how could you get a better deal than what he got from Netflix? Because he doesn't really need the box office to show that he did X amount in the opening weekend or anything. And he had a multi-picture deal with him. So it wasn't just he got to do one film.
Let me ask you this, as somebody who's in the industry, not the movie industry, but the screen industry. What is the What is the silver screen in the box office for?
Anymore?
Yeah.
It's just another way to get something made. I mean, the bare bones of it is if you are a filmmaker or a TV person, whatever, you really don't care where it goes. You just want to get it made. Now, if you're a huge movie star and you have a little bit of sway over that, then you might want it to go to streaming if you can get multiple deals out of it, like Sandler did.
I really love the thought of people who America has come to love, or the world, but I really more care about America first. But I really love the idea of people making great movies and releasing it where people are instead of, I mean, it costs too much money to go to the theater these days. But if you're Adam Sandler, if you're, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, if you're Brad Pitt, if you're any of these like huge stars that have a niche that you've carved out, and like, do you want, people either do or don't want to see the next Adam Sandler movie. And it could be an Adam Sandler just straight up comedy. It could be an Adam Sandler rom-com. There, Adam Sandler has lanes, but you're either going to want to see it or you're not going to want to see it. So I really love the fact that somebody like Adam has created a lane and a fandom that will watch the next thing. And I'm going to be honest, if I'm subscribing to Netflix for $20 a month or $25 a month or whatever it is, and I get to see an Adam Sandler movie and spend an evening watching it, if the movie is a C+, B- for me, I don't really feel like I wasted too much. Versus if I go to see that movie in the theater and I have to spend $40, $50, $60 if I want to get a soda with it or whatever, I'm going to judge that movie a lot harder that way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, hey, I'm spending time with a friend and hearing another version of the same story. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's why most movies now that go to the theater, at least if they have any sort of run in a theater, they're big movies.
Maverick.
Because they have to have huge stars. They got to have pretty big budgets, probably pretty big action sequences.
I want to see, I really, really, really want somebody who is smarter than me to figure out how to make this happen. But I would like to see more releases go to streaming that don't need to be on the big screen. And I would like to see more movies that maybe people missed when they went through the theaters the first time. Like, for instance, why is the entire Marvel Infinity Saga, like, run that in the theater for a 2-year time span? Do it via timeline. So start with Captain America, the first Avenger, and run that for 6 weeks in the theater and let people go see that movie as intended, as an epic. Because I've seen all of those movies now many times. We've watched that through many times. We are watching the timeline right now, and we're past Endgame, which is where we always stopped it. I was like, I'm not watching any of these other new ones. Now we're watching all the ones that are in the middle that they've added since then. And some of them have made me furious. But we're watching them because we're just passing 2 hours of time, whatever, it's the summer. But I would love, I didn't see Infinity War and Endgame or any of those other movies on the big screen. I would go pay money to see those movies again on the big screen. Star Wars movies, they've done that before. They run those back. Harry Potter is doing that. But like, give us some more of these big, epic. I'd go, if Maverick came back, Top Gun Maverick came back in the theater, I'd go back and watch that. I'd pay money to see that because there's an experience that you get in the theater that you don't get in your home. If you're watching Happy Gilmore 2 in the theater versus in the home, what you get in the theater might be the camaraderie of laughing at the jokes with a bunch of people, but that's not enough trade-off for me to have to go to the theater to see it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think if they could make money doing what you're saying with the Avengers movies, they would do it. Why wouldn't they be? It's not been long enough. I think they're still adding to the canon, so they don't think they could do it yet.
I don't think that's true. I think that it's still, I think people are craving the Infinity Saga quality with the movies that are being released right now that aren't that they could double dip. That's just like I said when the Snow White was out there. If Disney had any brains and marketing sense while the Snow White was being out there, and like, Oh my gosh, there you'd look at an entire weekend of tickets that had been sold. There'd be like less than 10 tickets across all theaters over the entire weekend when the new, you know, air quotes, woke Snow White was out there. Disney should have said, okay, fine, we'll put the original Snow White in theaters. And see, and like give the people the opportunity to make a statement by going to see the original Snow White and saying, this is what we want. At least make some money doing that, and you own the movie. I don't know. Maybe there's some reason why you can't do that, but
the movies that you're watching now in the Marvelverse, are they movies that have been made after Infinity War, Endgame, but they're still in the timeline earlier?
We're still watching it in the timeline, because movies have been made post-Endgame,
right,
that are earlier
in the timeline.
Black Widow was one of them.
Okay.
We watched Black Widow. That was all right. I didn't hate it. I mean, it wasn't like I didn't feel like it was a waste of time. Eternals, I felt like it was a waste of time. Shang-Chi, I thought was interesting, but I'm not really into like the martial arts stuff as much. But I didn't, you know, my kids liked it okay, I guess. I'm trying to think of other ones that we've watched. Because it's nostalgic if you watch the Infinity Saga. It's such a magnificent piece of work. To go through those stories and the characters. It was just really, really great storytelling. We said this, it's kind of a throwback, but at Hollywood Studios, their nighttime show is called Fantasmic, and it's about Mickey's dreams and nightmares. And it's so interesting to see this amazing story that Disney tells back then, and it's all about an absolute clear-cut definition of good and evil. Of good guys and heroes, bad guys and villains. And there's no question what you're looking at. And when you're watching these stories, as it used to be told, of a hero, maybe an unlikely hero, but a hero, there's a definitive villain. Now you've got all these stories that are coming out of like Disney and the woke culture, where we have to really redefine what evil and what villainous means to the consumer. And guess what? You might not know that something that you've always been told is a good thing is actually a really, like, a bad guy. And a lot of times in these new Disney stories, it ends up being, like, parents and stuff like that. And then people start filling in the vacancy. And it's just like, what are you trying to do? And we know what they're trying to do. They're trying to restructure society.
Yeah.
And that's, I got a big freaking problem with that.
Especially for kids' movies.
Yes. And when we had this conversation sitting there at Hollywood Studios, like, it was such a good show because you see, like, you're rooting so much for the good guy and you know exactly who the bad guy is. And storytelling today, it tries to mix all of that up. Nobody is purely good anymore. Nobody is purely bad anymore. Now, if you want to tell that story in a movie made for grown-ups,
yeah,
where there's a complication, like, that's okay. That's fine. But we're not telling stories to kids anymore where it's like good and bad. There is good and there is bad. And you need to understand that bad needs to be defeated. What's so wrong with saying that?
And it's the difference, too, between you can also, even for kids, you can have a flawed hero. They don't have to be perfect heroes, but you also can't mix between who's doing a good journey, because it's always about a journey, it's a story. You got to start and you got to stop. The journey itself needs to be a righteous journey for the main character, even if it's a flawed main character. And the bad guy, if you have a bad guy, because sometimes it's not a person at all, it's, you know, it's an internal conflict or it's a greater world conflict. It needs to be a righteous journey. And it needs to be clear that what the character is doing is a good thing.
A clear defeating of evil is important. And a righteous cause is a worthy cause. And that's so easy to cheer for. Another one we watched was Doctor Strange in the Multiverse. That got so... I remember, like, all of this... I watched these things way after they're in the news. And I'm like, oh, that's right. This was super woke because of A, B, and C. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff in that movie that has to do with... There's one part in that movie where Doctor Strange has this, like, little girl sidekick or whatever. And she has two moms. She comes from a planet where that's, like, what happens. Fine, whatever. So there's a multiverse, and she's talking about, like, all of the different universes that exist and realities that exist. And she goes, this girl who's from this different world, different universe, goes and takes food from a food cart in New York City and doesn't pay for it. And he's like, you have to pay for that. He goes, oh, that, she says, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. She's like, did you know that this is the only place where you have to pay for food? Like, every other universe has this stuff figured out, but here you don't have to. So it's a super woke message, right? Mm. But the whole time, she's wearing a rainbow pin. She's wearing an LGBTQ pin, which is very ironic to me, because the universe that she comes from, obviously, she comes from a universe where she has two moms. That's normal. And I'm like, why, when you're in this universe, are you sporting this pin the whole movie? She's got this pin on. She's communicating this message. Like, if this reality, our reality, is the aberration here, why would you need to wear a pin? Like, if everybody else has it figured out, but here doesn't, and you're not from here, why are you wearing the pin? And it's because Disney or Marvel or whomever, it was more important to them to show that, to show the two moms thing, to make that pin be an important part of the story, instead of treating that like, well, everybody else has it figured out. Everybody else is, like, it's totally normal to have parents of the same gender. Why would you wear a pin in one universe that has it one way, but everybody else has it figured out? Well, it's because the movie makers wanted it to be something that you noticed. They wanted to send you that message. And on top of that, we didn't even finish the movie because it got so Satan worshipy.
It's a dark movie.
We were watching.
What's the movie again?
The multi Doctor Strange 2.
The second, yeah. Doctor Strange movie.
And we were watching it with our kids, and it just got to the point where it was not appropriate to continue. Like,
very witchcraft heavy.
Yes, yeah.
Scarlet Witch is the bad guy.
If my husband and I would have been watching it, I don't think we would have turned it off. But I was like, I don't think that this is appropriate any longer for our kids to be watching. So we turned it off.
So the plot of the movie is communism works everywhere else, but here. So we need to figure it out.
I think I tweeted out, like, is Doctor Strange just about how much Earth sucks? I mean, and then the Eternals was the same thing.
Wow.
I'm better for it, I guess.
But Spider-Man's coming out a year from yesterday.
Spider-Man, I like all the Spider-Man.
New teaser out today.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, it's even timely. We're so great at this. Sydney Sweeney jeans ad. Was it a success? Yes or no? Vote. We're going to give you the results next. I got
my mind set. Look, I didn't ask to be the king of summer. It just kind of happened. This tan? Genetics. I just got my color analysis back. Guess what? Golden summer. Literally. I can't help it. Every time I drink a Dunkin' Golden Hour Refresher, it's like the sun just finds me. So if sipping these refreshers makes me the king of summer, guilty as charged.
So Dunkin' Donuts is now talking golden summer, golden tan, blah, blah, blah. Ryan, who's more attractive, Sydney Sweeney or Dunkin' Donuts guy?
Sydney Sweeney. That was super easy. She's a girl.
Uh-huh.
And attractive.
You don't think Dunkin' Donuts guy is attractive?
Guys aren't attractive.
Yet you watched a naked bike race.
Not willingly. That was happening while I was trying to eat.
Have you seen the Beyonce jeans ad?
That's Levi's.
She's in a Canadian tuxedo. She's got her jean vest on and her jeans, like all jeans, cowboy hat. And this is from maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Not white.
So that's resurfacing now?
Sure, as it should be. Is there anything racist about... Okay, here's the guys. I got a question. I got a really important question. When it comes to Sydney Sweeney stuff, people are saying that her blonde hair and blue eyes, which really offends me, that this is a problem because I have blonde hair and blue eyes. Maybe it's gray. Maybe I'm flattering myself. But that, like, saying, hey, do I have to inherently say I have bad genes because I have blonde hair and blue eyes? And if I say I have good genes, then that somehow, like, automatically puts me in Nazi Germany? That's crazy.
Yeah, if you say, they have good genes. The interpreter is the racist because they're saying, oh, you're saying it's because of their race.
What I don't understand here is that the same people who would be getting hot and bothered about her saying that blonde hair, blue eyes, good jeans, she's wearing jeans, it's a play on words, it's a smart play on words. The same people who are like super about that are like saying that this is very problematic because it harkens back to like Nazi Germany. Are the same people flying the Palestinian flag? Mm. Which one is it? You don't get to be offended by everything and still have completely conflicting views.
They're stupid. They're stupid. That's what this is. This is stupidity at its finest. These people cannot tell the difference between an ad and a play on words and
they can tell the difference. They're just bothered by everything.
They wake up in the morning looking for a reason to be offended. Mm-hmm.
That's why society's moved on from those people. I mean,
yeah, we're laughing at them.
Society has decided, okay, no matter what I try, we tried to go down your road. We tried to appease you, and it's clearly never going to happen. So we have to just ignore you.
I'm not even mad at them anymore. I just feel sorry for them. Like, how miserable can one person be?
It is sad if that's what you wake up and you go, what am I offended about today?
I'm not even like a big Sydney Sweeney fan, so I don't. She's not unattractive. I mean, I get it, but.
Anyway. Yeah, I think that's safe to say we get it.
Ethan, you want to hit us with the results? Was it a campaign of success?
207 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. Is the Sydney Sweeney jeans ad campaign a success? 92% of those 207 voters say yes, it is indeed a success.
Well, congratulations to the ad firm. You got? Is anybody in here a no?
No.
You're a no?
No, I'm a yes.
Sydney Sweeney, massive success.
Double massive.
Thank you for being here. Sorry about my voice, folks. I'll be back to good on Monday. Keep it here at the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.